Okay, good morning, ladies. Welcome back to our Shmir Salashon class learning. I hope everyone had a nice Yantif. We are going to begin with the Tfila Al Hadibur, please, and the inside front flap. Ribono Sha'olam, Yiratam of Fanecha, Racham, Vachanan, Shetiz, Akeni, Haim, Avachol Yam, Vishmar Pi, Lashani, Milashan, Haru, Rechidis, Vazar, Miladaber, Afilu, Al Ishiachi, Vakosh, Kain, Akla Yisrael, Al Chelek, Mehem, Vakosh, Kain, Lisraim, Al Midos, of Shah, Hakosh, Barachu, Vazar, Miladaber, Divre Shekhar, Hanufa, Machokas, Kaas, Gaiva, Unas, Dwarim, Habanas, Panim, Leitzanas, Vachal, Dibur, Asur, Vazakin, Shal, the Daber, Kim, Dabar, Tsarik, Lenani, Goofy, Vinafshi, Yukam, Masai, with Dibur, the Shem, Shamai, Amen. So we are learning the Lunish Mustfi Gersham Ben Yovachana Lavas Shalom. His Nisham should have a continuous Ali in the merit of our learning, and not just the merit of our learning, but every time one of us, as a result of this class, holds back from saying something we should not say, or not typing something we should not type, it should be an aliyah for his neshama as well. Also, his continued b'suras tovos for bracha v'gaibas v'achal geta for shleima b'soch she'archal Yisrael. So, welcome back, everybody. So, I'll tell you what page we're on. But this week's coming parsha is Baaloscha, and Baaloscha is very famous, of course, for many things that happen. This is parsha, very dramatic parsha, when the plan starts to go south. I guess pun is intended, we're not continuing north into Eretz Yisrael. The plan starts to go south. Until this point, everything has been going according to plan, and we're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says to Yisrael, in 3 days, we're going into the land. And Rav Soloveitchik says, when he reads these words, he feels like crying. Moshe includes himself. Nosim anachnu al makom. Nosim means who else is going in? Moshe is going in. In 3 days, we're going into Eretz Yisrael. Come with us. Of course, the people begin complaining, and at that moment, with the inverted nuns, Jewish history is inverted. However, one of the incidents that occurs really at the end of the parasha is very relevant to our learning, and that is the Lashon Hara, if you will, that Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is how Baaloscha ends, which leads you right into Parsha Shlach. So let me tell you what the Pesukim say, Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, and Miriam and Aaron, and there's many ways of understanding this, and well, of course, all the Mepharshim have their interpretations, and we're not going to go into every parish, we clearly don't have time. Even if we had a few weeks, we wouldn't have time. Vatidaber Miriam v'Aaron b'Moshe, Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, al odos ha'isha ha'kushis asher lakach, over the news of the isha kushis. How do you translate this? How do you explain this? Many different interpretations. I saw this morning that one of the Mepharshim say they were speaking about Tzipor's mother. But we're not speaking about Tzipora, they're speaking about Tzipora's mother. Was it Tzipora? Ki isha kushis lakach, because he took a kushis woman. So, first of all, Rashi says, Vatidaber ein dibur b'chol makom ela lashon kasha, and then he gives examples, but it means a harsh speech. So Miriam spoke to Aaron, she initiated with a harsh form of speech. She clearly says that because she initiated, her name is first, so she is more responsible, so to speak, for the Lashon Hara than Aaron, because she initiated the Lashon Hara. What were they even speaking about? So Rashi says that he separated from his wife. Now, again, it's a machlokas. Did he actually divorce her, or did he just separate from her? There are different opinions. Was it actually her? Was it her mother? Again, different opinions. But they spoke something about Moshe in regard to his marriage. Miriam was next to Tzipor. Now, this is Rashi's opinion. When it was told to Moshe that Eldad Umeda Misnabim B'Menachana, earlier in the parasha, you have these two young boys, these two men, who begin prophesizing. What were they prophesizing? Moshe, Mesvi, Yeshua, Mechnisam, La'aretz. And they had this Nevuah. When Tzipora heard that they were having prophecy, she said, woe unto their wives, just like my husband separated from me because of prophecy. Their wives will now, these men that will separate from their wives because of prophecy. Miriam heard, she told Moshe. But Rashi points out, Shalom niskavna lignuso. She did not intend to be a gnai, disparagement. Kach na'ensha. Nevertheless, she was punished. How much more so one who, and this is what we're working so hard on in this class, how much more so who one who tells about the disparagement or the negative, who intends for negative. She was talking to Aaron, her own brother, about Moshe, their own brother. Remember that she saved Moshe. What's wrong? Someone's there? knocking. Maybe they don't know to just come in. She meant for the good, and she's talking about her own brother to her own brother. And even so, we saw the Ramban, for those who recall, in Devarim, when the Ramban comments on Mechamas Amalek, Devarim 25:17, Parachav Hei Pasuk Yitzayin, the Ramban says there, it would have been worthy to not publicize Miriam's sin. It's one of the Shesh Zechiros. It wouldn't have been worthy to not publicize, nevertheless. It was publicized to tell you how painful, how difficult, how bad, how serious the sin of slander is. So, what did they say? Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem. Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? Lo gam banu diber. He also speaks to us. Vayishma Hashem. Hashem overheard. And it's at this juncture where we are told Vayish Moshe, the famous pasuk that we know by heart. Anav me'od mikol adam asher al pnei hadam. Moshe was more humble than any man to walk the face of the earth. So we don't see that Moshe has any reaction, but it says Hashem heard. Of course, Hashem heard. Hashem hears everything. And Hashem appeared suddenly to Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, and he said, come out quickly, the three of you. And they came out, and Rashi says there, Nigla aleim pisom. He appeared to them suddenly, and they were having relations, they were in the way of the world. So they criticized Moshe for separating from his wife, because they said, we're also Nevi'im, we don't need to separate from our wives. However, Hashem taught them a lesson. They were in the middle of being with their spouses, and Hashem appeared to them suddenly. And they start screaming, Mayim, Mayim, water, water, with which to purify themselves, to go talk to Hashem. Why did Hashem do this? To let it be known that Moshe acted correctly, because Hashem could appear to him at any time, without warning, and he's not like the other Nevi'im. Therefore, he did need to separate from his wife. Come out, the three of you. And Hashem came down, so to speak, revealed himself in the pillar of the cloud before the entrance to the tent of meeting, and he called to them, and he said, listen to my words. Is there a Navi? If there's another Navi, I appear to him in a vision, or in a dream I speak to him, but not so my servant Moshe. B'chol Beisi Naaman, who he's the most faithful in my other house, in my whole house. He's saying that Moshe's on a different level. Just because, yes, you're Nevi'im, and yes, I appear to you, and sometimes Hashem does speak to Aaron, and Miriam was a prophetess. Nevertheless, not so Moshe. Pat el pat adaber, mouth to mouth, I speak to him in a clear vision, not in riddles. He understands Hashem in a way that the other Nevi'im do not. Umadulo yureisim ledaber ba'avdi b'Moshe. Why did you not feel to speak about my servant, about Moshe? Vayicha af Hashem bam, the wrath of God flares, vayelich, and he goes. And of course, we know that when the Shekhinah, so to speak, departs from them, what happens to Miriam at this point? She has tzara'as. The only one who could hear her is the Kohen, but Aaron, who is no gea b'davar, cannot heal her. It's her first degree relative, it's her brother, and that's why he tells Moshe to daven for her, because if you don't daven for her, Moshe, who's going to heal her? She's outside of the camp. The people do not travel. They wait for the whole time. So we understand from here the dangers of speaking about somebody else, even when we mean the Tova. And I read this in Mishpacha a couple of weeks ago, but I saved it for this class. This is from, I don't know, the date's not on here, but it was from a few weeks ago. I'll tell you, May 2nd, 17 ER. So it's a long time ago. We're in Pas Shavuos. So there's this picture. Could you see? There's always a picture of a gadol. Shuki Ler is the photographer. There's always a picture of a gadol with like a little vignette. Readers often ask me why it is that I often write about tzaddikim who are no longer with us. Instead of exposing living tzaddikim, we can learn about them visit. This picture is of a great, if someone unknown tzaddik in Bnei Brak. His name is Rav Sraya Devlitsky. He's a Talmid Chacham, a Mekubal, and a Mechaber Sfarim. His Talmidim tell me each year he authors a new sefer on a wide range of little discussed halachic and Kabbalistic topics. But why am I bringing this to you? Because there's a small sign that hangs at the entrance to his room. And the sign says, are you ready? Here, we do not speak about any other Jew, even positive things. I thought it was so impactful. And very powerful. They're trying, Miriam and Aaron, we're understanding this on a very basic level, of course, are for the benefit. You know, remember, especially because Miriam was the one who got her father and her mother back together. The Gemara tells us clearly it was Miriam's advice that they should go back together. So in her experience of a husband and a wife separate, it's beneficial to, you know, go about having reconciliation. In this case, she was inappropriate. She didn't speak to Moshe like she spoke to Aaron, her father. She spoke to somebody else. And in the before the room of Rav Sraya, Raya Davlitsky, it says, here we do not speak about other Jews, even positive things. Rav Sraya is unique in the fact that there isn't a trace of machlokas in his home. If you don't talk about any other person ever, then how can you have machlokas? He takes no sides. He won't even listen to a conversation about a dispute. We're coming up to Korach in a few weeks. He has been blessed from heaven, and the sense of peace and tranquility in the room he rarely leaves draws flocks of visitors who come in search of brachos and advice. The picture shows not just a tzaddik, but the sacred room, which is an oasis of serenity as well. So I thought it was extremely, extremely powerful. I just had a matzav just last week. My husband and I went out to dinner, and I'm not going to give any details, but we went to a certain place for dinner. We had a very nice experience, and then somebody texted me. WhatsApp. Remember, we learned about the dangers of WhatsApp. I said where we went, what the occasion was for, why we went to dinner. Said we had such a nice meal. Right away, what was the response when I said this, where we went, we had a very nice meal? I'm surprised. So I thought, uh-oh, here we go. I'm surprised. We went there a few weeks ago. We didn't have a good meal at all. So I said, and the whole time, this class really, Baruch Hashem, gives me an entirely new perspective on Kol Chadibur. So I could go back and read you the whole exact exchange. Well, this is exactly what happened right away. I'm surprised. I thought, uh-oh. We went a few weeks ago, and we weren't very happy. I said we had a delicious meal. This one in the family wasn't happy for this reason, and this one in the family wasn't happy for this reason, and this one in the family wasn't happy for this reason. One second, and these other places are my favorite, and doesn't have such a good reputation. So I said the things that we ate, and how pleasant it was, and how the food was good, and the service was good, and the ambience was good, and how one innocent comment can turn into a whole lashon hara situation.
You know what I find? You can't be with negative people.
Talk out, please.
I said you can't be with negative people. This is someone that looked for only a bit like.
Okay,
like,
so it's so interesting.
Hard and we're humans, and you can't have come. I'm listening to this. I'm saying this is such a negative person. She's like, look at.
So it's interesting you're saying that, because listen to the next thing I'm going to quote from the Rebbe. Listen, one second. It's interesting you're saying that we can't look at the negative, because the next thing I'm going to quote, of course, Misha Chavitz Chaim Ahav Yamin, we've spoken about this many times. Lir Os Tov, the key to Netzol Hashan Chameirus, Zachem Adab Mirma, begins with Lir Os Tov, seeing the positive. So this is Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and this is one of the insights he brings in his Alein L'Shabeach, on the situation with Miriam and Aaron, etc. Wherever we go, we hear words of criticism. At home, at work, between friends, between relatives, on the phone, and in person. The problem with much of the criticism is that it is generally accompanied by anger, and I'm going to add in negativity, which creates an emotional barrier in the person being criticized. Even if both the person criticizing and the person being criticized possess exceptionally fine character traits, criticism given in anger will never accomplish its purpose. There's a prime example of this in Sefer Bereishis. Yeah, what is it?
No,
because you're naughty.
No, I'm agreeing.
Oh, you agree. Oh, there's a very good example of this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, teaches the following: when Yaakov Avinu appears at the well, he's going to find the Shidduch Rachel. He loves her, whatever Rachel Leah. So when he comes to the well and he sees the shepherds of the town when they're just hanging around the well, right? And what does Yaakov say to them? The day is still young. Why are you out shepherding? Why are you just loafing around town? You work for somebody. You're stealing arrows from the day. Why are they there? They need everyone to gather in order that they can roll off the rock so that everyone can drink. But he doesn't know that. So Yaakov Kamenetsky points, and they answer him. They say to him, we're waiting. They don't say, what do you think they would say? This total stranger shows up in town. And the first thing he says is, you're not doing a good job. We never met you before. I've been a shepherd for 20 years. I'm not doing a good job. You're criticizing me. You're not my boss. I never even laid eyes on you before. You're coming here and you're telling me negative behavior? So what's the answer? I think actually Rashi quotes it in this beginning of the sixth parasha. What's the answer? What does he begin his criticism with? Shimuna Achai. What's the way that he speaks to them? In a term of endearment. Positively. Kindly, nicely, and therefore, says Rav Yaakov, they accept his criticism. One second, I just want to see something. No, it's not here. Okay, So Rav Zilberstein says, even if the person doing the criticizing, giving the muster, and the person on the receiving end of the muster have exceptionally fine character traits, criticism given in anger will never accomplish its purpose, because the person's ears will only hear the sound of the criticism, and the message of the words will not penetrate his heart. Why? Because all he could hear is the tone, is the condescending, is the negativity, is the criticism. Proof of this is Rav Simcha Cohen in his Sefer HaBayit HaYehudi is found in Ar Parsha, which discusses the Lashon Hara that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe. After they spoke, Hashem turns to them and he explains their words. Shimna Devarai. We saw the Pesukim inside a little bit. Here are my words. There's no other Navi who speaks to Hashem on the level that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Hashem. It's not in a riddle. It's not in a dream. It's very clear. Only after Hashem explained the error, and the following verse says, Vayichra af Hashem bam vayilech. The wrath of God flared and he left. Hashem is very angry. So angry that Miriam said Tzadekes and Aviah, the leader of the woman, is punished severely with Tzaras. But the Torah makes it clear that he first explains what was wrong, and only then it says he became angry. The anger comes after the explanation of the sin. He explained Moshe is different from all other prophets, but he makes it clear that before his anger is known, Hashem speaks gently and pleasantly to Miriam and Aaron. When addressing Miriam and Aaron, Hashem says, Shimu na devarai. What does na mean? Please. Rashi explains an expression of polite request. Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, a commentator on Rashi, writes, even though Hashem was angry, he spoke gently. Shimuna Devarai, why? Had he spoken in anger, his words would have not been heeded. This incident demonstrates clearly criticism delivered in anger accomplishes nothing. It's such a strong lesson for us when we're talking about whether it's children or grandchildren or a Rebbe to a Talmud or a Mora to a student, no matter what the age the child is. Criticism, even if it's constructed, delivered in anger, accomplishes nothing. Who teaches that? The Malamei Torah L'Ama Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches us. Ribbono Shel Olam could have first said Hashem became very angry and then he explained. That's not what it says. It says first he explained why they failed and then he became angry. Even if the people being criticized are prophets, and even if the one criticizing is Hashem himself, says Rav Zilberstein, criticism from anger or negativity accomplishes nothing. Miriam and Aaron were far from ordinary individuals. They were Nevi'im. However, nevertheless, Miriam and Aaron were not expected to be able to accept criticism given in anger. Quote, how does he end this piece? Rav Zilberstein, can we expect more from the people we criticize? Very powerful. Okay, I still want to quote Rav Salvechik a little, but let's do a little bit of the Sefer. Let me see what time it is. Okay, we have time. Wait, does anyone have questions or comments besides for in addition to what Shady already shared? No? Okay. And I'll tell you something interesting. One of the items, in fact, that we tasted, my appetizer was not very good. Why are you laughing? I didn't say any details. There's a lot of places to eat. I didn't say anything.
And you didn't say it to that person. My appetizer wasn't good.
Exactly. It wasn't spoiled. It had no flavor. In fact, one second. They told me it's a new menu item. And I told them this has no flavor. I said I would not serve this because I didn't say it bad. I said it's not spoiled. There's no flavor. But when my brother and sister-in-law said, how was the meal? And in addition to the appetizer I got, I tasted the soup because I was debating if I should have that appetizer that I didn't like or the soup. And the soup was delicious. So unfortunately, I didn't get it. So when my brother and sister-in-law said, how was the meal? I said, the soup was delicious and my husband's appetizer was also delicious. I said nothing but the salad I didn't like. It wasn't spoiled. Why do I have to go out of my way to say something? So it's just a sensitivity on how we view the world. It leads into next week's parsha, really, in Parsha Shlach, which is a continuation of Miriam and Aaron's Lashon Hara. Of course, the famous first Rashi to Perek Yud Gimel, as Rashi says, what's the connection between Miriam, Perek Yud Beis, and the spies, Perek Yud Gimel, Rishayim Halalu Ra'u V'lodachu Musar. The spies, the scouts, saw what happened to Miriam, and they didn't take Musar. But it's so true what you said. It doesn't begin with what we say, it begins with what we see. And if you perceive positive, the spies perceived negative, so they spoke negative. And so true in the people around us and in the restaurants we go to and in everyone we encounter. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, bottom of page 94. Right at the bottom. And Lahamlitz Amez is really an interpreter. So in other words, we can interpret from this, or we could derive a lesson from this based on the teachings of Chazal and Pirkei Avos. Al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, you should not be a wicked person in your own eyes. So there's many ways to interpret this and to understand this. One of them is just an important nekuda. If you, going back to seeing negative, if you see your own self as negative, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Who don't see potential within themselves or hope within themselves. If you see yourself as negative, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You have to be very careful. The HR is very good at that. What is he very good at? You mess up once, so then the HR comes along and says, excuse me, you idiot. That's really what he says. You're so useless, you can't do anything. Right? You always mess up. It's a very, very cunning tactic of the primordial serpent who dwells within to decrease our dveikus b'Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to hear from you. You always mess up. You're worthless. But now the Chavetz Chaim is going to interpret it differently. Okay, v'hainu as chaveru tzarich kol echad adun l'kaf zchus. Well, the meaning of this is your friend, you need to judge l'kaf zchus, for the side of merit. If you judge people for the side of merit, then once again, you don't see negative. If you don't see negative, you don't talk negative. Okay. I believe I said it before, but my husband once heard Rav Hershel Shachter Shlita say something very good. Hey, Veidanis called Adam Lakav Schus is a bidiyevan. Remember we said this? Why is it bidiyevan? Because the chatchila, you shouldn't be judging anyone ever. Hey, Veidanis called Adam Lakav Schus means you're judging. Now that I'm judging, I have to judge the side of merit. Okay, so now I have to find ways to judge the side of merit. But really, you shouldn't be judging at all. Certainly, this person's words are not hefker. How do you translate hefker?
All over the place.
What?
All over the place.
Okay, like, you know.
Free.
What?
Free.
Free. Free? Okay. Oh, is not unrestrained. Okay. V'shomer es atzma. So when you look at somebody else, you say, certainly his speech is not free. And he is shomer es atzma. Good morning. He guards himself, miladaber dibur, from speaking speech shehu neged ritzon Hashem Yisbarach. So you should always look at somebody else and say, his speech is not free. You know, the sensitivity we have to go to, and this, I cannot tell you how much this class has helped me personally, Baruch Hashem, Hashem should help me to continue. It should be an ayin hara that I'm saying this out loud. I'm just going to give you another example of the sensitivity in which we have to speak to other people. Here we don't speak about other Jews, even positive things. My husband and I met this couple who were in a new neighborhood. So we met some in the neighborhood. We were telling them about this. I couldn't even tell you their names if I wanted to, because I don't even know who they are. That's how anonymous this story is, okay? I met them one time. They introduced themselves. We were talking. They asked us where we moved from, how long we've been living here, et cetera, et cetera. And then one of the spouses said to us, I assume you have children. And I was so pained by that comment. I didn't say anything because I never met this person in my life, and I didn't want to be giving criticism or musa the first time that I met them. We were just walking without anybody else. It was just my husband and I. I was so taken aback. It was very painful for me because I thought, there are people who, if you say that to, you're going to shatter their whole world with just words. And you could destroy somebody with a question that seems so innocent. We should not ever assume anything. I grew up, that was like the 11th Dibra. You do not assume. And that was, and it was, and again, I didn't say anything
didn't
because
say
I never
Hashem.
Met. The, what?
You didn't say, oh, you said Baruch Hashem.
I said, yes, we do. Okay. It's not a question you should ask somebody. No. You have to be very, very careful. And when it comes to, what?
It's very tough, yeah.
You never meet somebody who's standing without children. You never met before and say, I assume you have children. When it comes to your friend, you have to be down the kafs chus. Because certainly you should think to yourself, his words are not hefker. He guards himself from speaking against the ratzon of Hashem when it comes to somebody else. Oh, hu ish pashut me'or. So let's say he says something that's negative. What should you think to yourself? He's such a simple person. He doesn't have the level of intelligence or understanding. He doesn't learn Hilchos Shmiras Halashon. He doesn't have a high level of intelligence. He's just a pasha guy. He doesn't have the understanding. You should find ways to exonerate him for his speech of Allah. Adam es atzmo, but a person himself. You can't use the same out for you. I have to be very careful on guard, to guard my tongue and my mouth. It shouldn't just be loose. It shouldn't be unrestrained. when I see somebody else who makes a mistake, so I should think to myself, they don't know any better. They want to assume that every Jew has children. Baruch Hashem, they want to assume such a thing. Maybe he's just a simple yid. There are times we have to be done as called Adam Akav Schus. When it comes to myself, Mamela says of Salvechik, when a person comes to do vidui and he's malamid schus upon himself, that's what, right? We're talking about being malamid schus. Dan is called Adam Akav Schus. When you're malamid schus upon yourself, says of Salvechik, then it's not vidui. Quote says Rav, it's worthless. You stand for the Ribbono Shel Olam, you say, oh, it was hard, I have nisyonos, I have dagas ha-parnas. You try and make excuses before God as to why you did the negative behavior. For somebody else, you should try and exonerate. For yourself, you have to be amistic with yourself. You might come to be considered like a rasha, chalila v'chas, chas v'shalom. Before the eyes of Hashem, and mishum zeh bavad tzarich ha'ish hanilbav l'kabal as atzma chovos ha'shmira. And therefore, one should take it to heart, leave, to accept upon himself chovos ha'shmira. I don't want him to be so busy, I could learn from other people what not to do, but I have to accept it upon myself what to do. Od amarti, I forgot the other sefer lista. Od amarti latik po davar, shekatafti b'makam achar. I want to say another thing that I already wrote in another place. V'shayich l'inyanino. I'm going to review. Why? Because it's shayich to our matters. Amu chazal. Amaha olam kayim al hevel piham shaltino ko shal beis rabban. So what is the word stand upon? The word stands upon, it doesn't mean hevel like nothingness. It means the chatter of the mouth of young children. It's so cute. You know how cute little kids are. So my son, one of the 12-year-olds, told me, we were visiting by my brother and sister-in-law on Shabbos, and he was putting his 5-year-old cousin to bed, and he says, the cousin says to him, he's putting him to bed, I wish we were brothers. So my son says to him, we could be like brothers. So his cousin says to him, when we grow up, could we live in the same house? Because he loves him so much. So what is the world kayim on? But think about it, there's no machloka, so there's just a havaschina. I'm saying it as a Musra Haska for us. You just love another Jew, just to love them. Just because you love another Jew, because you have a childhood innocence, and you're not jaded, and you don't have negativity, and you see things, going back to the negativity which grown-ups see things, we see things with such purity. No wonder the world is upheld by the pearls, the gems that come out of the mouth of young children. There's such a purity, and a clarity, and an ahava, and a trust. Amar la Abaye la Rava, so Abaye says to Rava, Didi vididich ma'i, it's Aramaic, but the Chavetz Chaim translates it for us, Shaliv shalach mahu. The world is upheld on such a statement, I love you so much, I wish we were like brothers. Shouldn't every Jew say to another Jew, I wish we could be brothers? Instead, we go around criticizing, I'm surprised you had a good meal there, do this, do that, Amar la einu doma hevel piv, sheyesh bo chet. You cannot compare the chatterings of a mouth that are tainted by sin, every grown-up in some degree. The Gemara says there were four who never sinned. Okay? Amram, David's father, Yishai, Amram, see, I don't even remember them. I should remember them. Binyamin, Amram, I believe the father of David, and one of the sons of David. What's interesting about this, and this is a whole shir in and of itself, it's very, people don't, Hamon Am, I'm not talking about Talmidei Chachamim. Hamon Am, if you go around and you ask the people, four people, the Gemara says four died by the advice of the Nachash. Actually, it relates exactly to our learning. What does it mean they died by the advice of the Nachash? If not for the Nachash's Lashon Hara, death would have not come to the world. Meaning these people are innocent of all sin. They only died because man became mortal after the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara Techav. It's interesting that the Gemara also says they died by the advice of the Nachash. You would think it would say they died because of Adam and Chava sinned. Do you understand? Shouldn't it say they died because Adam and Chava, Adam and at that point she's not Chava, she's Isha. Shouldn't it say they died because Isha ate from the Tzedas v'titen gan l'Isha ima v'yochal, and he ate. What was the whole root of mortality? Not the Eitz Hadas. The root of mortality is Lashon Hara. Okay? So there are. Oh, so the, my point is that our leaders have all made mistakes. This is, we start with Baal Oscha. It's very hard to say this, but Miriam and Aaron, Miriam was punished on whatever level we could understand, and such a tzaddikus and such a Nevi'ah is punished. She made a mistake. We're coming up to Chukos, and what happens to Moshe? a disaster. Right? When we look at our leaders, they are not imperfect, and that's on purpose. That's the point. Ribbono Shel Olam is teaching us you can be a great person, you can overcome. Anyway, so my point was, every human being, no matter how great he is, has some tainting of sin. So you can't compare speech that comes from a sinful mouth to speech that comes from such a pure mouth. This nephew's very sweet. He said to my daughter the other week, they were upstairs in a room, he says, who do you like better, Hashem or your bookcase? It's such a clarity. It's such a sweetness. And Hashem saying those words hold up the whole world. Even the holy Amoraim, certainly their studies and their works and their lives were the Shem Hashem. Certainly when it comes to the Amoraim, when it comes to the Tanam, when it comes to the Rishonim, when it comes to the Gaonim, there was no Lashon Hara Mechilas, which are Dibur Masurim Mamash, and other things that are totally Asur, Kim Bavadai Eza Avak to Avak. Maybe there was some dust of forbidden speech. It wasn't even avak lashon hara. It was avak da avak. So far removed, a speck of a dust of lashon hara. Afilu hachi amu devazel shalif avim nichshulu b'yemei chayim ba'avak da avak. It's possible that at some point in their lives, they were nichshal, they failed, they stumbled, they tripped in some degree of dust of forbidden speech. And this kalkal at some hevel pim, and therefore the purity of their speech in some way was ruined. V'sorasam eina kadosha kolkach. Look at that. And therefore their Torah, it's not as holy as it could have been because it lacks some purity. Therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam says, who holds up the world? The pure speech, the ahava that exudes from a child whose mouth is pure. Umimela. And regarding us, our learning and our holiness, compared to the learning and the holiness of the Amoraim, of the Tanaim, of the Gedolim, of the Rishonim, of the leaders in the Torah, we're so small, we're like minuscule compared to their greatness. And what do we cause our mouths to be impure with Lashon Hara Rechilas, and furthermore, ma kedusha yachal lachul alimudenu. How can we say that there is kedusha in our work? You know, so as soon as this person said, what was the occasion? Why did you go? So there was an occasion. Are you celebrating? So I said, I went with my husband for dinner. Does that count? Where did you go? So I said, well, I'm going back to the conversation. Right away, I'm surprised. Right away, I knew what was coming. But I'm thinking to myself further, because we spoke here about the 10 rules of WhatsApp from the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Imagine if that was in a group WhatsApp.
Forget about it. I would have gone wild.
Okay, it's true.
Yes, and this is this, and I didn't like this.
And I imagine that's why they say WhatsApp is so dangerous. I was trying to understand why WhatsApp is so dangerous. I think I said this last time. It's no different than iMessage. Yeah, if you're with one person, it's no different than a text. But if you're in a group on a family chat, that happens. And then they go from that chat to the next chat. And if you're in a friend's chat, or if you're in a class chat, or if you're in a neighborhood chat, and imagine if you're in a group, not one-to-one. Imagine how dangerous that is. So how could we say we're so small? We're like nothing. We're minuscule compared to the giants of Torah. Certainly our mouths are impure. What kedusha, what holiness can we depend on in our learning? And therefore, how great is the might of he who accepts upon himself to guard his tongue. Because everything that he accepts upon himself not to speak from forbidden speak, you're not only adding holiness to your words, you're adding holiness onto your Torah. So in other words, with the power of positive speech, you are adding positivity onto everything else that you do. That's tremendous koach. Think about that. Then the next time you make a bracha, the next time you learn Torah, the next time you do a mitzvah, you get credit for everything you do for that positive speech that you took upon yourself. Look at the power it has to transform your lives. So I mentioned that I just want to see something. Okay, we did more than a page in the Sefer. That's big stuff. I did mention that I want to conclude really with comments of Rav Salvechik regarding the sin of Miriam and Aaron. And again, we touched upon some different insights. Okay. ותדבר מרים וארם במושל, אודוס האיש הקושיס אשר לקח, כי איש הקושיס לקח, ויומר, הרק אך במושל דיבר שם, he spoke about this in the beginning of the year, that Hashem just speak to Moshe, he also spoke to us, ונישמע, Hashem, Hashem heard, the next passage tells us Moshe was the most humble man. Moshe married. He did not continue the marriage. He withdrew from Sipporah, and then Salvecha quotes the Mechokas in the beginning of the Mechelta. Did he separate or did he divorce? Or whatever the Pshah, at this point, they were not together. Miriam and Aaron consider Moshe's separation unnecessary and unfair. And I think, by the way, this is a strong Masrasko, which I didn't even think of when I was preparing Shir today. I just thought of an added element. And I think it's a very important. I forgot the other sefer, but this is a very practical implementation that we can all implement today. You know, the Torah is so timeless. Hashem includes things in the Torah for all generations, and every generation has to understand Torah for themselves, apply to their generation. We live in a time, Hashem should help me say this properly, we live in a time where there's a lot of separation, a lot of divorce. And there is a tendency for people to look at these many, oftentimes young couples and pass judgment. And I'm not crazy, and I'm not making this up, and you hear people say it all the time. Why did they have to separate? Couldn't they work it out? What were they thinking? Everyone's so quick to jump on the bandwagon. You know what? Maybe there's a strong message in this parsha of the Torah for Tafshin Ayin Ches, in addition to Lashon Hara, an added aspect. You don't have to be done anyway. The Chachir says of Hershel Shech, don't done. What was their whole avira? They're looking at Moshe, their own brother, and they're judging his marriage situation, or in this case, his separation or his divorce situation. And you know what? They're outsiders looking in. They were siblings, but they're still outsiders looking in. Kal v'chomer, ben benosho, kal v'chomer to all of us when we're outsiders looking in. Who am I to say what people should or should not have done? In the privacy of their homes, we don't know what happens, and I'm honest now to think of it when I was preparing, but it's a very practical halacha l'maisa that we can all implement. We don't have to pass judgment on people whose marriages, engagements, much to a lesser degree, do not work out. We simply don't know the matzav or the situation. And it's a tremendous avera. Amish and Avera to engage in such a Lashon Hara, because first of all, you're seeing the negative. Second of all, you're being a Dayan Emes. There's only one Dayan Emes. Who gives you the right to judge this couple in the first place? Nobody gave you the right. And third of all, you are perpetuating Lashon Hara and Rechias. And I think that, I hope people listening to the Shir listen to the end of the Shir, because I think, again, Baruch HaKeichirim, I didn't think about the time until I read this situation. Miriam and Aaron considered Moshe's separation from Tzipporah unnecessary and unfair. And people say today, everyone's so fast to split up. You know what? Mind your own business. You don't know what happened there. And maybe that's one of the things that Hashem wants us to learn in our modern day and age from this parsha. If you remember the Rashi, says the Rav, the trouble is we don't study Rashi every week when it comes to a difficult parsha. Rashi explains how it develops. He quotes the Rashi that we quoted about Elda and Medam Nisnabim B'machar. Okay? She complained bitterly against her brother. What did she say? What was the case against Moshe? Hashem talks to us too. We didn't separate from our wives. We're all prophets. That's what some people say about marriages. I also have a problem in my marriage. I also didn't get along so well. I didn't jump to get divorced. I worked it out. That's what really, in essence, they're saying. I think it's a tremendous practical lesson. Combined with Rav Hershel Schechter's don't judge anybody, that's the Chachila. Combined with the Parsha, combined with everything that we're learning today, I think if we take one Nakuda away from here, by the way, there's a lot of Nakuda, so we should take from today's Shir. Be careful what you post on WhatsApp. If you didn't have a good experience at the restaurant, if the appetizer was good, talk about something else that you tasted. Besides for everything else practical that we learned, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, if we criticize in anger, we learn this from Hashem, will never be accepted. The final Nakuda is that we should not be judging other people's marriages, period, ever. Okay. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come? Okay, now I have to skip. Okay, I'm skipping because we added another Ha'ar that I wasn't planning to say. What did Miriam fail to understand? One Nakuda, says the Rav, the singularity of Moshe, the way we've been understanding it, right? Lokein Avdi Moshe Bechol Besi Ne'eman, who he's just different than everyone else. Pa'el pa'el daberma, b'mar lo b'chidos. I'm not coming to him in riddles. He doesn't have to decipher what I'm saying. Mouth to mouth, I'm speaking to him. Aaron and Miriam did not realize the significance of the segula element in Moshe. How could you translate segula? If there's words you can't translate, that's one of them. The cherished, special, the uniqueness. They failed to understand the uniqueness of Moshe. They did not know Moshe merited special attention. And therefore, he did deserve to be treated separately. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. That's not, again, goes back to not being down the covenant. Yes?
And not only that, HaKadosh
Baruch Hu
told...
Wait, talk louder.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to separate.
It was
following what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him.
Correct. Rashi actually quotes it. I didn't quote it. By Matan Torah, the people are told, Shuvu lachem ohal lechem. The people should return to their tents. The ohal is a euphemism for your wife. The wife is the tent. You go back to your tents. Va'ata po amod imadi. This is brought down in the beginning of Devarim by Matan Torah. Moshe has to stay with Hashem. Meaning the people, there's a contrast, a comparison. The people should go back to their spouses, their wives, but Moshe should stay with Hashem. You're right. So everything is from the Ibn Hashem, so it doesn't stop us from talking Lashon Hara, unfortunately. Okay? They did not know Moshe merited special attention. This is the reason the Torah warns against comparing Moshe to other prophets. Okay. Again, I had to skip, but I want to point out that elsewhere, it's not in this essay, but that is what we have to understand. They failed to appreciate the segula quality of Moshe, the uniqueness of Moshe, and therefore they sin. But I want to extrapolate from that, that the truth is when we speak Lashon Hara, we fail to appreciate the segula quality in other Jews. And that's what leads to Lashon Hara, v'yisim li segula mikol ha'amim. From the beginning of Parakat Tesun Shmos, what's the whole purpose of Matan Torah? Mamlechas Kohanim v'Goyi Kadosh v'Yisem Li Segula Mikol Amim Kili Kol. It's every Yid is Segula. When were we endowed with the Segula quality? Right before we got the Torah, Parakat Tes, we just celebrated Shavuos. Parakat Tes of Parshas Yisro, Parakat Tes of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Yisro. We were told that we are all Segula. So the same failing of Miriam and Aaron is really our failing. They failed, according to Rav Salvechik, to appreciate the segula, the uniqueness, the cherish, however you translate, the treasure that was Moshe. And if every member of Kal Yisrael is a nation of segula, Lashon Hara stems from the fact that we fail to appreciate the inherent treasure within every Jew. But I wanted to say something else, and in a different essay, the Rav connects this to next week's parasha. He says, what did the spies learn from Miriam? Mishayim halalu ra'u v'lo lachu musar. Just like Miriam and Aaron failed to appreciate the segula of Moshe, what did the spies learn? They didn't appreciate the school of Eretz Yisrael. They thought it's a land like every other land. It's a land that consumes its inhabitants. It's a land with giant fruits. We can do it. The cities are fortified. It's just a land like every other land. Moshe's a prophet like any other prophet. So the Rav makes the connection. What did the spies learn from Miriam and Aaron? To fail to appreciate the segula of Hashem's chosen one, whether it's the person or it's the land. And we need to derive a Mr. Haska from that. I'm bringing us further to V'yisem li segula mikol amim. We're all segula. And if we cannot see the segula quality in our fellow Yid, we're following in the ways of Miriam Lashon Hara and the ways of the Meraglim Rechem HaTzion who failed to see the segula. So Maisa, what's the bottom line of today's class? Don't talk about other people. And if you see the good, Miriam and Aaron failed to see the good in Moshe's segula. The spies failed. Since only Caleb and Yeshua were able to say, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. It's good. Tova. If you could see the Tova and you could see the segula, you naturally, like my nephew said to my brother, could we be brothers? And that's the statement that holds up the entire world. Halavai. Which of the koach, the clarity, the anivus. V'ish Moshe anam ma'od mikol adam. The anivus. And the cherishment, I don't even know if that's a word, towards our fellow Jews, to view each other like brothers. When we grow older, could we live in the same house? And then maybe Hashem's house will be rebuilt. We will truly all be like brothers. We're coming up to Tammuz, and Tammuz is the month of Churban because of Sinas Chirim. We should be zochah to rectify it. Tremendous Ahavas Chirim. So Hashem should give us a lot of siyata d'shmaya. Any questions or comments?
Amen.
Okay, thank you, ladies.
Amen.